Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless it. Our God, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that he is your powerful presence. We believe that he is the one who inspired the apostles and the prophets to give us your very word. We believe that he is the one who works in us to give us faith, to give us this love, to give us understanding. We believe that he is the one that works through the preaching of the word and opens our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive your word as it really is, the word of God. So we pray that the Spirit would do this work today, even as we are in your presence. Lord, give me clarity of mind and clarity of speech that we might hear your voice clearly. Would you please take away all distractions from our hearts and our minds that we might submit ourselves to your word this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the most important, if not the most important part of a wedding ceremony is the taking of the vows, where, for instance, the man would say, I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, and I do promise and covenant before God and these witnesses to be your loving and faithful husband in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, to love and to cherish as long as we both shall live. And in these vows that we take, we are promising, we are covenanting to practice a steadfast and immovable, a persevering love that endures to the end, regardless of the circumstances that we're faced with, one that is faithful and loving, whether in sickness or health or plenty or want or joy or sorrow or whatever the circumstances may be, that love will be steadfast, it will endure, it will persevere. And as we come to this verse here in 1 Corinthians 13, what we see is that character of love that is vowed in the marriage vows is not isolated to the love of a man and his wife, one to another, but is of the essence of the character of the love that we all must have. This love that is of God, is from God, it is the love that we are required to practice with one another, a love that is steadfast and enduring and persevering regardless of the circumstances. Now, as we come to this verse 7, I tend to think that of all the descriptors that we've had in verses 4 to 7, this is perhaps the most confusing to us, or at least the most misunderstood. If you look at a number of different English translations or study guides, you will see all sorts of different interpretations about how to take these different things that Paul says in this verse. And I tend to believe that is because of the terse nature of how Paul writes in this verse, the very brief and compact language that he uses, and it's difficult for us to understand. You might remember when we began this list, we said that all these descriptors that Paul gives are verbs. They're active verbs. He describes what love is by what love does. And what we have here in verse 7 is essentially that. It's four verses back to back, separated by the word all, which we can take to mean all things or everything. And he takes the all and he puts it in a place of emphasis, where literally what he says is, everything bears, everything believes, everything hopes, everything endures. What does that mean? Well, that's where the confusion comes into play. And how we should understand this is that what Paul is doing now is he's coming to the foundation of this love that we have, and it's rooted not so much in our how describing our love for one another, but how love acts and responds with respect to our love with God himself. Now, I want to be clear. There are not two kinds of loves. There's not one kind of love that is for God and another kind of love that is for one another. It's one and the same love. We've been saying that this love that Paul is describing, that we are commanded to have, that we practice, is God's own love. It is a love that is from God because God is love. We have this love when we are in Christ Jesus by faith. God pours out his own love into our hearts by the Spirit that dwells within us. And there is one God, there is one Savior, Jesus Christ, and there is one Spirit, and so therefore there is one love. And God does not have a separate love with which he loves himself and his three persons that is different from his love for you and for me. It is one and the same love. He simply loves. And yet, this love is multifaceted, like a precious jewel. We've been looking at these facets over the past few weeks. That's what all these descriptors are, what I've been calling descriptors in verses 4 to 7, these facets of love. Love is patient and kind and so on and so forth. And these facets are not independent or facets that are taken independently like tools in a toolbox, but they are tightly woven one to another. They depend upon each other. And this love, even though it is one love, it does not act in the same way under every circumstance with the same relationship, regardless of who it's dealing with. And we can see that if we consider just for a moment, just briefly, we go back to some of the other descriptors of love that we've already considered. Paul had told us that love is patient and love is kind. We are not patient with God. God is patient with us in his mercy. We define patience, this patience of love that Paul talked about, as continuing in love regardless of how the person, the object of our love, responds to us. Even when they're in wrongdoing, love continues to love with patience. That's not the love that we ever have with God. God does no wrong. He is good and he does good in all of his ways. Scripture talks about waiting patiently on the Lord, but that's a different kind of patience. We are to wait patiently on him, but that is, in essence, submitting ourselves to the Lord in love. Or Paul tells us love is kind. We are not kind to God. God is kind to us in his grace. We define kindness as bestowing goodness, doing good, giving good to those who are undeserving. But God is the only one who is deserving. Anything that we do that is good, we are only doing our duty. We're doing what has been commanded of us. We would call that worship. God is the one who bestows grace upon us. And so the list goes. We can consider them over and over. And there comes to a hinge point in Paul's list, which we considered last week, where Paul said, love rejoices with the truth. It's this rejoicing with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth that is in Christ, that is of God. That is the hinge point of our love. It is the love, it is the gives the motivating purpose for our love for one another. It's what compels us to be patient and kind and forbearing and to not be irritable or to be forgiving. It's focusing and rejoicing in the truth of the gospel, but it's also what compels us to love the Lord with joy and to rejoice in these things. It is the hinge. And as we come now to verse 7, what we come to is the foundation of the love. It is what gives the purpose for the motivating purpose. It is the truth. That gives us the joy in the truth. It's as if the Apostle Paul in these four verses is painting this picture of this glorious tree that is love, where he began with the fruit of the tree, which is our love for one another, and he moves to the trunk, which is the rejoicing with the truth, which is the life and the purpose of our love, and now he's at the roots. He's at the stump of the tree, and he's describing what is the underlying foundation for our love. And so with that in mind, we can expand upon what Paul says here to explain where we're going with this, to say this. Love rejoices to bear all things in suffering for Christ, rejoicing by faith in all things that the Lord has said and done in the past, rejoicing with hope in all things the Lord promises for the future, so that in all things and in all circumstances, love continues steadfastly. Hopefully that'll become clear as we work through each of these individual descriptors in this verse, and we'll take each of them in turn. So Paul begins by saying, love bears all things. Love bears all things. Now, this is often taken to mean that love will bear with any wrongdoing that any person has. We view it as an overarching principle for how we treat one another. The problem is that Paul's already said that to us. He's already given us that explanation in what he's told us about love already. He said that love is patient. He said love is willing to continue to love even when there's wrongdoing that happens. He says love is not irritable, that love is slow to be angry. It is discerning about what really matters and only gets angry at that which is worthy of being angry. What we should understand this to mean is that love bears with suffering for the sake of Christ. It is a heart orientation to being willing to suffer for the sake of the truth. It rejoices with the truth in such a manner that it's willing to bear with all manner of suffering for the truth. And we do this in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want you to ever forget, this love that we're talking about is God's own love that is perfectly manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the incarnation of love, the perfect witness of love. And I hardly need to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate, the perfect witness of love, suffered and bore with all manner of things in suffering. That was the sum and the substance of his ministry. His entire earthly ministry was a ministry of suffering. He was not simply the very Word of God. He was not simply the servant of the Lord. He was the suffering servant of the Lord. And every part of his earthly ministry, as he revealed the love of God, it was an act of suffering. He was bearing with all things. He suffered when he left the Father's side and took on human flesh forever and ever, being born into a low condition, being born into poverty and suffering. He suffered as he bore the reproaches of man. He suffered as he was forsaken by his own friends when he was forsaken by his own father. He bore the suffering of the taunts and the torture and the cruel death on the cross, the injustice of a kangaroo court. He suffered under the power of death for a time. Everything that he was doing was suffering, bearing with all things. Beloved, he did that in love. He was there because of God's love, as an expression of God's love. And beloved, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have his Spirit in us. We have his love. And so we must expect that our expression of love will be an expression of suffering and bearing with all things in love for Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, he said the love of Christ controls us. It constrains us. It compels us down this road. And so I want to be very clear about this. To be a Christian, students, kids, you need to hear this clearly. To be a Christian, to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, means that you will not simply be a child of the living God, not simply that you will serve the Lord as one of his people, but that you will be a suffering servant. You will suffer for the sake of Christ, if you are in Christ. Lord Jesus Christ put it like this. He said, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. For us who are truly in Christ, who truly love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him as our shepherd, we follow the shepherd wherever he goes. And we cannot expect to follow him to a crown if we are not willing to follow him to a cross. That is the nature of our calling to Christ. Jesus said, you will be hated by all for name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Or the Apostle Paul, who knew quite a bit about suffering, the writer of this book, he said to the Philippian church, he said, it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. But beloved, not needless suffering, not empty suffering, a suffering, a bearing of all things for the sake of Christ out of love. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He said, there's no greater love than somebody should lay down their life for their friends. He had that greater love perfectly by truly laying down his life for you and for me. And that is the calling for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be willing to bear all things for Christ. It's the essence of what it means to be a Christian. Jonathan Edwards said, every true Christian has the spirit of a martyr. What does that mean? Well, not simply that just that we're willing to die publicly for public defense of our faith, although we should be willing to do that, but daily in our everyday relations, moment by moment, giving of ourselves, laying down our own lives, denying ourselves for the sake of Christ. The call to be a Christian, my dear friends, is a call to come and die. To wake up each morning to say, I am not my own. I was bought with a price. I will honor God with my body. I will bear all things for Christ. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which a man found, and then he went and he sold everything to buy that field. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to sell everything, is to be willing to bear all things and to give up all things for the sake of Christ. Now, I want to pause for just a second, and I want to say, if you are not in Christ Jesus, if you've never put your faith in Christ Jesus, you may say, well, this is an awfully an odd message that you have. You are asking me to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saying, well, if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm going to suffer. Then I am going to have to give up myself and reprioritize my life and deny myself for the sake of this other. That's an odd presentation. And I would say, yes, it is an odd presentation in the eyes of the world. This is not a worldly sales pitch. This is not what the world offers. The world has its own smoke and mirrors of what it promises. This is how you will find happiness. This is where you will be happy. It's a transient. It is a passing, a fleeting pleasure that's never satisfying. This is the truth. This is what gives us the boldness to proclaim this and to say, we must do this because we are rejoicing in the truth and rejoicing with the truth. And we're saying, this is what it means to be in Christ. This is where salvation is. There is true hope and true joy and true salvation, and yet it comes at a cost. It comes at the cost of giving up our very self. And what I would encourage you, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, is to look at those who have truly found Christ and have truly learned what it is to give up all things and to examine their life and to see, are they walking around like they've lost everything, or are they filled with joy and peace? And is their life strangely different? Beloved, here's the reality. There's a true joy and rejoicing in this because, beloved, this is the truth and this is where there's true treasure. The man is willing to sell everything because there's truly treasure in the field. And, beloved, those who are in Christ Jesus know that there is treasure and that the treasure is in Christ, and it's been offered to us, and it's worth everything. And Jesus has said that he's the one who has not only proclaimed the treasure, but is the treasure and has received the treasure. And he said the path to this joy and this treasure is through the path of suffering and giving up yourself. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven. And beloved, love understands this. Love clings to this, and love is willing to bear all things in suffering for Christ because it is rejoicing in the truth. But love doesn't simply do this on bare grounds, but it's actually grounded in something quite solid and firm. It's grounded in the truth. Where Paul goes from here is he says love not just bears all things, but it believes all things. It believes all things. Love rejoices in faith, in the truth. Now, this particular descriptor, believes all things, and the next one, hopes all things, we typically interpret that to refer to our relationship with other people as if to say, well, love believes the best in a person, or love hopes the best in a person. But again, the Apostle Paul has already told us that. He said that love is not resentful, or we said that what he says is that love does not think the evil, or love does not reckon, count us, or think of us in accordance with the wrong that we have done. It's always hopeful. It's always looking for a charitable interpretation of the past, and it's always thinking charitably about the future. So Paul's already said that. And again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this divine word hardly seems likely that it would be repeated and redundant. Instead, what we should understand this to mean is love believes all things in the truth. Not simply, he says just all things, but certainly doesn't mean all things. He doesn't mean that love is gullible. It's just going to believe whatever comes before us. Love rejoices with the truth. And so love was going to believe all things with the truth. The truth is God's word. God's word is truth. And so it's believing all things that God has said, and it is resting by faith in those things. Love believes that God is who he says he is. Love believes that God's word is truth, and that is his divinely inspired word. Love believes that we are who God says that we are his creatures, that we are created for him and by him for his glory. Love believes that we do not live for his glory, that we are sinners, we have rebelled against him, we deserve no good thing, we deserve only his wrath and his punishment forever and ever. Yet love believes that God is love, that he is good and he does good, that he is love. And he expresses his love by way of his covenant of grace. Love believes that that God is telling the truth when he says, I will be your God and that you will be my people. Love believes God's promise that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Love believes that Jesus Christ is who God says that he is, that he is the very Son of God, eternal, who took on human flesh and became like us in every way except for sin, that he lived a perfect life, that he died a perfect death, that he was truly dead, that he did this out of God's sure love for us. Love believes that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that we might have life in him. And love believes that Jesus Christ was raised victorious into heaven and is now seated at God's right hand, with all authority and power and dominion, even though we can't see it. Love believes that the Holy Spirit is who God says that he is his personal He's the person of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, God's powerful presence, that he is the one who inspired sinful men to have God's very word. He's the one that enlightens our hearts and our minds to receive the gospel, who unites us to Jesus Christ, who gives us understanding of the gospel, who gives us true God's own love and his own presence, and preserves us for glory. And that by that same Spirit, love believes that we have that power. And that love that is of God himself. Love believes all this. Love believes all things of the truth. And it rests as a foundation on what God has said. It is able to bear all things, knowing that Jesus Christ came to be like us, to bear all things for us, and that he calls us to himself and gives us the strength to be able to bear all things with his own love. So love believes all things by faith. It looks back by faith. But love doesn't simply look back. It also looks forward with hope. Love hopes all things. Love rejoices in the hope of the truth. It looks forward with all things. Again, even though it just says love hopes all things, doesn't mean all things. It means it's qualified by all things in accordance with the truth, all the things that God has said. And again, we could go through the promises of God, of what he has said. These are things that are rooted in faith, of what God has said that gives us hope for the future. And when Scripture speaks of hope, it doesn't mean wishful thinking. It means a sure hope, as we heard in our assurance of pardon. It's like an anchor for our soul that's kept in heaven, like the anchor is not in the depths of the sea, but it's in the heights of the heavens. And we have, by faith, we're holding on to that anchor, which is in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. It's a sure hope, but it's one that's rooted in faith in what God has said. And with each of the things that we hope, we look back for what God has said to give us a sure hope for the future, resting in what God has said. But then we also look back to the Lord Jesus Christ as evidence and confirmation that our hope is sure. What do I mean? I'll give you three examples. Love hopes for our ultimate salvation. Now, God has promised in his word, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Faith believes that God meant it when he said it. And faith rests in the fact that when we confess Jesus Christ, we are saved. And yet we don't have the fullness of our salvation. We're still wrestling with sin. We're still in this world of corruption. And we long for the ultimate salvation when we're fully saved. And so we have this sure hope that salvation is coming. But we look back with faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see him who suffered, who was made a little lower than the angels, who suffered and was crucified and passed into glory, who was raised to new life and ascended and was received into the heavenly places as a sure hope that you and I will be received into glory. Or we love hopes that we will have ultimate justice. Part of the descriptors that God has given to us in chapter 13, have to deal with us having delayed gratification of justice. Being patient, we wait for things to be made right. Being slow to anger, we are leaving room for God's vengeance. Even not being resentful, we're waiting for God to complete all things. Well, God has promised ultimate justice. God has promised that he is just and that he has selected a day where he will right all wrongs. He will eradicate all evil forever and ever, and we will have perfect justice. And so we have a sure hope that that is coming. But then we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at him who faced the most graphic of injustices on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin, who was tried as a sinful man and crucified and bore the wrath of God even though he had done nothing wrong. But we see him who was raised from the dead because death could not hold him. We see him who is ascended and given all authority and has been declared the Holy One of God as our sure hope that he will come again and right all wrongs and give us perfect justice. Or love hopes that bearing all things will actually yield the reward that Jesus has promised, that it is meaningful suffering, that it is a purposeful way to live. And Jesus has said it is, and so we rest by faith in that promise, and yet we await that reward. But we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured all these things patiently to the end. And then we see him crowned with glory and honor, with the name above every name, and that gives us a sure hope that one day he will welcome us into glory, and he will lay on our heads the reward, the crown of glory, and he will put his own name on our foreheads, and we will be his forever and ever. And beloved, love acts on a sure foundation. It believes all things, resting in what God has said and done, and it rests in a sure hope of what God has said he will do, and in so doing, it enables us to bear all things in the present, looking back to faith, looking ahead by hope, to be able to love and act and continue in the present. And so, Paul can summarize, love endures all things. Love is steadfast. It continues. This verb that he uses there is kind of like a sense of remaining, continuing. It doesn't end. It doesn't quit. It continues. It perseveres. And you know, I'm sure, the Lord Jesus Christ, his love was this kind of love. John chapter 13 talks about how Jesus came to love those whom the Father had given to him, and he knew them, and he loved them to the end. He loved them to the fullest, to the completion of it. There was no quit, even when it took him to the cross, when he could say it was finished. He loved them to the end. And beloved, this is the love of God. This is the love of God that is ours. The Apostle Paul would say later, he said, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, that is God's love for you and for me. That is our hope, is that his love endures. His steadfast love endures forever. And in Christ Jesus, beloved, his love is ours. And we must love with that enduring love. So let me ask you, is your love for one another a love that endures? Is it one that perseveres? Is it one that bears all things on a sure foundation, trusting in all that God has said, resting in that with a sure hope for the future? Is that your love, or does your love have its limits? Does there come a point where your love quits and says no more? Beloved, by way of application, I just want us to consider for just a second what this type of love, what this foundation of love has to do for our love for one another. There, it highlights for us the very true reality that there is a suffering in love. That true love is costly. And we should know this when we look at the love of God in Christ Jesus, but we forget that in our own love for one another. We should expect that it will be difficult. And when we consider all the things that Paul has already said about what love is, there is an element of suffering in them. Love is patient. It is suffering to be patient, to continue to love somebody who treats you wrongly. Love is kind. It is suffering to be able to have to deny yourself and to think about another person and what they need and bless them with what is good for them, even when they have done nothing to deserve it. Love is not irritable. It is suffering to delay gratification of wrath and to have to do the difficult work on our hearts and our minds to say, this is not worth getting angry about. I will overlook this one. God will take care of this in the end. And there's suffering in forgiveness, in letting go of past hurts so that we're not resentful. This is what love is. And in the trenches of life, the day-to-day trenches of life, beloved, there is true suffering there. But love bears all things in suffering for the sake of Christ. How do we do that? How do we do it when we're dealing with the unreasonable spouse or the rebellious teenager or the rude coworker or the unpleasant boss? Love believes all things. Love remembers that we were bought with a price. Love believes that we have a Savior who bore all things for us when we didn't deserve it, when we were rebellious, when we were unreasonable, when we were rude, all those things. He bore with all that, and he loved us to the end. We rest in that. We rest in the fact by faith that we have been called by him and that we have been empowered by his Spirit to have his love. And then we look with hope to the future and we say, this suffering is not forever. There is an end to this suffering. There is a glorious end. There is a true reward for us who endure, who bear all things in love. And beloved, we have been promised that these present sufferings that we endure, even the sufferings for love, cannot even begin to compare with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We have a hope that is so unimaginably glorious that it should make these trivial pains that we feel are so big seem so small. And so looking back by faith and looking forward by hope, love acts in the present as the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit works in us and through us, even as he loves us, as we love with his love. But beloved, this is only something that can really be done but through faith in Jesus Christ. We can't possibly love with that kind of love. That everything is predicated on having a true faith and a sure hope. That's the only grounds that enables us to bear all things and to love with this kind of love. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot love in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, the type of love that we must have and the type of love where there is true joy. But my dear friends, Jesus Christ has been offered to you. He's been offered to you. He has loved you in order to reveal his gospel of salvation, that if you would just believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This hope, this sure hope, this true faith will be yours. Beloved, if you don't have that faith, I urge you to receive it. Cling to this true hope and love with his love. But if you do have this faith, then beloved, rejoice. Rejoice with the truth. Rejoice that he has given his Spirit so that you can love with this radically glorious love. This love that bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. And rejoice, beloved, because we can know for certain that we will not have to bear all things for all eternity. Love bears all things, but this suffering for the sake of Christ is one that we will bear only till death. Till death do we part. For in glory, the glory that has been promised for us who endure, what we will bear is the weight of glory the weight of God's glory, the weight of his love surrounding us in our community, in our fellowship with Christ himself forever and ever, without any cause for suffering, but only rejoicing and freedom and joy forever and ever. Oh, beloved, cling to this love. Love with this love and rejoice, because this love is ours in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, thank you that you have spoken to us yet again by your word. We do pray that whether this word was casting seed for the first time or watering seed, Lord, I pray that your word would do exactly what you intended it to do. Lord, I pray that if it was casting seed, that it would go on good ground, that you would take away the thorns or the rocky soil and certainly keep the soil from being hard. Let there be soft soil to receive the seeds and to be watered and to bear much fruit. Oh, Lord, would you please reap a good harvest from your word as you have so intended to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.